Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
The following podcast is hashtag Boone approved. It's time for another edition of the Boone Podcast.
If I get three pairs of shoes from a collective 14 gifts, I'm good.
On today's program, we flip the script on Booney.
With 141, his second home run in as many nights and his 37th of the year.
Today, we stick him under the lights and shove a mic in his face.
And I mean, we're flying through these tree-lined trails going 1,000 miles an hour.
He is CBS Sports Radio host and the executive producer of the Boone Podcast, Rich Herrera.
I want to know about you guys. What was life like growing up around your dad while he was playing when you guys were younger?
Now, in its fourth year, this is the one and only Brett Boone Podcast.
Happy New Year, everybody, and welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. It's 2025. I can't believe it's already here. I'm Rich Herrera from the Infinity Sports Network, the executive producer of this podcast. That, of course, back from Mexico, and I'm glad he didn't get arrested down there. Brett Boone. Happy New Year, Booney.
Happy New Year. And Rich, this is Turning Two with Booney. Not exactly the same. It's an entity inside the Brett Boone Podcast.
Is that like the DCU? Like the
Well, MCU? Anytime I see you pop up, I know it's another round of Turning Two with Booney.
That's true. All right. So how was New Year's? What'd you do?
Same as it's been for the last probably 20, 30 years for me. About 9:15, I get a text from my mom, family members, Happy New Year. No matter where I am, I'm always on the East Coast for New Year's Eve because I'm not going to bed at 12 o'clock West Coast time. So it was another one of those. All right. Are the kids safe? Is everybody have their marching orders? I know the kids are going to be scattered and everywhere having a good time and then have my phone by me.
Just in case.
Somebody couldn't get an Uber or I lost my keys. Nothing
my
like
electric
that
car ran out of juice and my I had electric to go up the hill.
Yeah, so no hiccups, went off without a hitch. Everybody safe and sound. Everybody had a good time. And yeah. I got a good night's sleep. No New Year's for me. I see so the ball you, drop you at 9 o'clock. We're done.
9 o'clock Pacific time. Midnight on Correct. The East Coast. You're an East Correct. Coast New Correct. Year's
I might
Eve
even,
guy.
I might even send out an Instagram, you know, Happy New Year at 9:05. Oh, Brett must be in New York. No,
look at Brett's in New York City.
No, I'm not.
Don't you feel like an old man?
I don't. I feel great.
Did you ever get excited for New Year's? Like, what did you do New Year's 2000?
Oh, I'm sure I got dragged to 2000. Let's see.
Y2K. What did you do for Y2K?
We were probably at a party. And that's when the kids were younger. So you didn't have those problems with the kids going out and having to make sure everything's all right and smooth with them. Yeah, probably then. I was talking to Jared, our producer, and he's 20, I think he's 22 or 23 years old. I said, you had to go out. He goes, yeah, my buddies, we went to this place. And I said, yeah, he asked me, when's the last time you went out? I said, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago. But now that I think of it, before the kids got started getting a little bit older.
Right.
I think I went to an adult party when I was in my 20s and my 30s. Like, it's kind of the thing you do. Oh, we got invited to the Smiths down the street.
Invited over to the...
Right. We weren't going out to clubs or anything like that. But, we got invited to the Joneses. You know, we got to go do that party. And then it's 11. And even in my 20s and my 30s, it's the off season. So I'm getting up, you know, I'm getting up in the morning. I got to go train. I got to go do whatever I'm doing, get ready for spring training. I don't have time for razzle dazzle and fireworks.
Dancing. Yeah. Are you a good dancer?
It's almost like a chore. Like, you got to force yourself to stay up till 12. Am I a good dancer? You know I'm not a good dancer. I'm a horror. There's certain things I cannot do.
Ooh, wait a minute.
Most of them in the arts.
Can you sing?
Oh, I'm awful. Beyond awful. I can't. I'm not musically gifted. And I cannot dance. And I'm not talking about I can't dance like most people when you're at a party, wedding. Right. Hey, come on, you got to dance. All right, I'll do it. Neck goofy, whatever. I'm that guy that, like, no, I don't dance, and I don't even go out there and try to dance because it's that bad.
So we met your beautiful wife at the Mexico vacation.
Yes.
What if she goes?
I know.
Brett, what if she says, Brett, let's dance?
No.
She's gorgeous. She's stunning. She's standing there in a gown. No. You're in a tuxedo.
No,
Brett, let's dance.
The slow dance, I can do that. Yeah.
So you're out there dancing, and it's an Ed Sheeran song. But dancing.
Well, Rich.
And then all of a sudden.
My drinking days are over.
Right.
Now.
Now, during those days, would you dance?
I think, unbeknownst to me, I probably would. But not because I chose. And even then, back in my partying days, I drew the line. You know, I could be having a great time feeling good. And that word dance comes up, I run the other way, even if I'm under the influence. Now, these days, that doesn't happen. So it's usually a hard no. But I know where you're going with this. I think I know where you're going. Because
I don't know why you're talking about, Brett.
That's recently. In Mexico with the family on our vacation, but there's an asterisk next to it because.
Well, hold on. Before you give us the asterisk, I've got footage exclusively from TMZ Sports of Brett Boone.
I know that's
of Brett
true.
Boone dancing. Look at that, everybody.
I do. But that's me. Okay. Imitating. That's me imitating the 1980s and the white man dance, they used to call it.
You could be dancing to Wham UK right now.
Yes,
Brett.
That's a great call. Those are the Wham days. And okay, I said I couldn't dance, and I really can't. But that one dance that was popular, if you go to a Depeche Mode concert with your Tonsertan.
Tonsertan, rich kid stuff.
That you bought at Chess King.
Yes.
Everybody can do that dance. I can emulate it for you right here. Woo. So that's the one dance I can emulate and make it funny. And yes, on this vacation, we did it. And even my kids, who don't laugh at anything I do, they were laughing.
Oh, that was outstanding when I got that video. So you had the Tonsertan. Did you have the Benetton rugby shirt?
Oh, I don't remember. No, I don't remember that. But remember back when it was the, what was it? The Michael J. Fox, you know, the famous movie. The Michael J. Fox.
Back to the Future?
Back to the Future. You remember that white shirt he had? Everybody had.
Everybody had that.
So that was back. You're right. And that was back in the days where Tonsertan was big, Chess King. Now it's come back. These peg pants. But that was our era, you know, the peg pants, the tight at the bottom, big on top. Today on top, you're more fitted.
Right.
But those were the days. The 80s were the Wham days. That sums it up perfectly.
Yeah,
Wham,
there you go.
Depeche Mode, Duran Duran, all doing the dance you just showed.
I love that dance. That's going to be on my phone forever now. But let's get a recap of the Boone family trip to Mexico. First of all, how mad were all the other 21 vacationers that they had to come on the podcast?
Weren't mad, just wanted to get to the beach. And because you were so long-winded during the podcast, we ran into programming. We ran into time crunches. Now, I think it went great. I think it's one of those podcasts that it was a pain in the neck to do from a time, because everybody thought, am I on in 5 minutes? Am I on in 7 minutes? And it ended up going longer than I think either one of us thought it was going to go. But that being said, I think it's one of those things that besides being a fun podcast, I think it's something 20 years from now, everybody's going to be able to look back and go, oh, that I remember that trip and it was awesome. So no, at the end of the day, everybody was happy. We got everybody in.
We got to meet the entire Boone family. Right. What were the reactions?
Oh, they all downloaded it. The majority of them that I know, the guys that were on my plane, the kids and the family members that were on my, they all had it downloaded before the plane ride, so they could watch on YouTube on the way home. So and they were all coming home and like, oh, I thought, you know, so and so was pretty good. Everybody had an opinion who was good and who wasn't so good.
Okay, so let's hear
critiquing themselves. You know,
let's hear who the consensus was.
Consensus was Janelle, Aaron's oldest,
right,
stole the show on the kids' side. Although Annalise and Malia did a really
Annalise
good
and
job.
Malia were really good.
But Janelle was the winner.
The showstopper.
Showstopper. On the adult side, I don't think the adults really critiqued themselves that much.
I thought Krista was good. I thought Maddie's Krista was good.
And
I thought Laura was good.
I think everybody's gonna the default goes to Grammy, and Mom always gets,
oh, of course, she's standalone. You know,
she finished it up. So it was a lot of fun though. It was a lot of fun. Okay. And you know what? It was lazy for me. I didn't have to do any shows because of our long two part Brett Boone
Meet
podcast
Boone.
Christmas vacation. Check it out if you're listening now and you haven't checked it out. It's fun. Kids are fun. They made me laugh.
So one of the things that we talked about on the Boone family vacation was the story of Bunny.
I don't have an update.
No. If you guys missed it, Brett's niece, she's how old is
Lennon.
She?
Lennon
is
four.
She's four. She has this little stuffed rabbit, and she has it and she carries it everywhere. They've lost it a few times. They air tagged it. And she dropped it in the airport in Mexico. And somebody picked it up and took it home. And we know where it is.
Yeah.
It's some other house in Mexico, but Bunny is still missing.
Yeah. I'm going to talk to Matthew today because I know there was a plan in place when we left.
I gave him the plan.
Yeah, that was right around Christmas. And so people were going to let the holidays pass and kind of take care of it and have somebody down there go to the house, one of the locals.
Right.
And maybe $100 bill and some niceties and you get Bunny back. But I don't know. I do not have an update. I will have an update.
Yeah. Give me an update on Bunny because I think your sister-in-law and your brother appreciated my advice and actually came from my son, Rigney. And he said, you know, whenever you go to a foreign country, a Rolex will buy your freedom, cash will buy you access, and Marlboro Reds in Copenhagen say love in any language.
Yes, I can relate to the Copenhagen because I ran out.
Yeah, in fact, he was in Africa last year. He was on a ship that went to Africa, and this guy pulled up next to the ship. And he said, do you like barbecue? And they said, yeah, we love barbecue. And he holds up a goat. He goes, this would be perfect for you to barbecue, my friends. And they said, how much? It's a live goat. They said, how much? And he goes, 5 gallons of gasoline and a carton of cigarettes. So they all said, all the sailors like, yeah, I'll throw in some cigarettes. So they gathered up a carton of Lucy's to make a carton of cigarettes. And Riggs went to go find a gallon, 5 gallons of gas, and then the captain came on and said, no, you're not bringing a live goat on to barbecue on my ship. Stop it, you guys. Knock it off. So They didn't get to have their barbecue, but
did they give them the gas in the carton anyway? Just because?
No,
they're good cats.
No.
Oh, it sounded like such a cool ending to.
No, because they wanted to have it, and the captain said, "No, we're not going to do that. We're going to get in trouble." So, if they can find Bunny, and then I watched the Fenway Bowl because your nephew's football team was playing and they got crushed.
Yeah, Brandon had a rough one. That was a rough day for brighter things to come in 2025, maybe. With Coach Belichick. But yeah, that was a rough one.
That was Brandon's
first bowl game. So yeah, exciting for him. I haven't talked to him since on that either.
We need updates on this, Brett. We need updates on this. Because I can't wait to see. I want to know what it's going to be like when Arnie goes to visit Chapel Hill. And I'm sure he'll make his way down there sometime. And when Belichick and Arnie get to meet each other, I think that would be a fascinating conversation.
Why?
Two leaders, two guys that have high profile jobs.
Know how fascinating it'll be.
Oh, I think so. You have the former head coach of the New England Patriots, arguably the most high profile head coach of the National Football League, and your brother.
Right. And it'll be, hey, what's up?
What are you talking about? Could work with me, Boone. It's 2025.
Want to go back to talk about
your dancing?
What's up, Belichick? What's up, Booney? How we doing? Hey, the kid's working out. He's doing a really nice job. Brandon's doing a great job. How you looking this year? We'll see. We got Max Fried. We got Goldschmidt over at first base. I think it'll be good. All right, man. Good luck. I'm going to be checking. Yeah, we're watching you too. Take care of Brandon.
Aaron, I believe in you more than your brother. Aaron's watching this. Arnie, I'm telling you. He's going to ask Arnie to talk to the team.
Oh, what are you going to do with the nickel defense?
Are you going to go
to the lefty instead of the righty in the seven?
I got it. You're just jealous because you don't understand the game of football the way that Aaron Boone does, who's a genius. Genius.
I do not understand the game of football like a lot of people do.
Right.
I am very, very naive when it comes to the X's and O's of football. That is true. So on a serious note, when they talk, it'll be football heavy. Because Aaron loves football, and he wants to pick his brain about the ins and outs of what you're trying to do, and so yes.
So if Brett Boone met somebody and he was going to pick their brain,
I would.
It's more than hey, how you doing? Nice to see you. Whose brain would you want to pick?
No, the fun guys I like talking to are like the Donald
golfers,
the Donald Fears.
Right, he was a great podcast.
Like Elon Musk.
Would you like Elon to come on the show this year?
Yes. I want to just see, it's that next level brain. You know, we walk around life and we meet a lot of interesting people. We meet intelligent people. We meet dumb people. Nobody really, I don't walk away usually very, impressed with somebody's intellect. But once in a while, I am.
You talk like to me every day.
Right.
Yeah, Aren't you impressed with my intellect?
You're a great guy, Rich. But guys like Donald Fear, I leave the conversation and it's like, I really am dumb. I think I'd leave a conversation with like, who's that guy I see on TikTok everywhere? He's a chess champion. Probably sitting down and have a conversation with him.
Oh, is that the guy that wouldn't put on, who got kicked out for not wearing jeans? Yeah.
Talking to guys like that, that's what interests me. I want to talk to Musk. I want to talk to the guy that only wears jeans and is the chess champion and Donald Fear, because it's guys you don't get to talk to. And it's like, they're speaking a different language in a different world. And I just sit there and listen and go, this is fascinating. So that's what fascinates me.
Do you ever walk away talking to me going, wow, that was pretty impressive?
Absolutely. On the Turning Two with Boone podcast.
Yes.
Not the Brett Boone podcast. If you could get that right, I'd appreciate it in the future.
Yeah, I know. I messed up a bunch of liners this weekend on the radio.
Yeah,
I've been busy.
Rich tells me before the holidays, says, Booney, I love working during the holidays. So I take every shift. The problem with that is being the executive producer of actually the Brett Boone podcast, which is Rich Herrera's tagline. he becomes a pain in the ass when he's working all the time. Because if I need something, I need a piece, I need a
because I can't jump whatever Brett wants.
Sometimes I get an attitude. I think I'll give him a little bit of grace because I know he's working hard right now when everybody else is eating turkey. But yeah, that's a problem for me.
Yeah,
but I roll with it.
Yeah, folks. Yesterday, I'm trying to get ready. I'm working on New Year's Day. I've got two college football games. I got one that got postponed because of the terrorist attack in New Orleans, and I'm an less than an hour from showtime, and Brett calls and says, "Hey, what's up?" I said, "Brett, I'm writing my scripts out for the show." "Well, Brett, I don't have time." Long, awkward silence. Fine. Click.
Correct.
Yeah, he was annoyed.
And now, if it's really important, I will hammer home.
Right. I tried calling. When I finished writing my scripts, I tried calling.
Well, you notice I didn't answer.
I know. You did, because you were...
That's why.
He was being... I'm kidding. He was being pissy.
I didn't... I really wasn't offended by it. I moved on with my day, and
because I talk about you on the radio too much.
In the back of my mind, I just thought, man, you know what? I hope Rich has a wonderful day.
No, he doesn't.
Wonderful.
He's like, he's telling his wife that jackass Herrera didn't bother to pick up the phone. How dare he when I call?
Right. That's only like 90% of the time.
Right, and then folks, when I'm doing the show, he'll call me during a break. And he'll say, 5 hours? Really? Somebody wants to listen to you for 5 hours straight?
Well, I like with the occasionally I'll tap into your show when I know you're on, and I'm absolutely bored beyond tears. I will tune in, and I'll listen. And Rich, he has some good things to say, but if he's off by just a percentage, he will get a text correcting him. So
he does.
These are things that
Brett will.
These are things that entertain me.
What do they call it in politics? No, self check. What do they do when you're debating and they go, "Oh, we're gonna self correct you, or we're gonna audit you during the..." Brett will do that. If I say something wrong about baseball,
no, we don't even use that in politics. They use the term fact check.
Yeah, fact check. Brett will check me.
It's just pathetic. It's just a bunch of people that don't know the facts, fact checking nothing. It's
right.
It's nonsense.
So Brett will fact check me during the show if I say something wrong about baseball. All right, I got a couple things I want to talk to you about, because I actually brought you up. I talk about you probably way too much on the radio, because I use you as a reference in a lot of the things that I talk about. I wanted to get your take on a couple things. This is going to go back to Arnie. We'll start with Arnie's team.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley has an opportunity to set the all-time rushing record single season.
Barry Sanders, right?
Eric Dickerson. But you're close. Eric Dickerson.
Oh, I thought it was Barry Sanders.
So it's Eric Dickerson.
Okay.
So he gets to, Eric Dickerson's the single season rushing record holder, right?
Well, apparently it is Eric Dickerson. Yes.
Eric Dickerson. So Saquon Barkley has an opportunity to break that record this weekend. He needs 100 yards and change, easy, against his former team, the New York Giants, who kicked him to the curb.
Okay.
His family wants him to break the record. You could tell by listening to him, he wants to break the record. But the coach says, no, we're going to sit him, keep him healthy, rest him up, because the playoffs start in a couple weeks. What would Brett Boone do if you had an opportunity to break a record? We're not talking just a little record. We're talking about the all-time record. This is like going for the single-season home run record, and Lou comes to you and says, "Hey, kid, we're going to give you the weekend off. We want to rest you up and get ready for the playoffs."
Well, it's a different time now. Lou would never say that to me. He would go for the record. And people in yesteryear, that's exactly what they do. But I think you look at it from a baseball perspective. I think the first time we saw somebody with a no-hitter not come out for the bottom of the ninth, you were shocked. Like, what? You
right.
Can't do that. Now it's kind of the norm. You never see a no-hitter. You see a combined no-hitter.
Combined
no-hitter, never
which
see
is
a no-hitter.
Nothing.
That is the new generation, and that's what... So that makes perfect sense. Where how baseball's going, how the rest of the major
society's
going, Right. And it's just, well, of course we'd rest him there. You know, it's like a baseball player. Hot as a firecracker, he's played 22 in a row, but his REM sleep that they're monitoring says tomorrow's a day off for you. Well, in no world is that normal. For us, when I played, it's like, no, you play every single day. And then once in a while, you get a breather. Usually when you put together a couple rough games, maybe you're getting tired. Maybe it's the dog right. days of summer. But not when you're on a hot streak, just because the algorithm says it's time for you to sit tomorrow. But I think, you know, I think there's some good things. There's some credibility to it. I think there's some good points to it. We're always learning. We're always going forward. But I don't know. I'm kind of in the middle. I like to have an open mind about new technology and new ways of going about things. You know, have an open mind to know just because we did it this way doesn't mean that's necessarily right. What can I learn from the modern? But stuff like that, just those records that are in stone, if you have a chance, because it'll never happen again.
Correct.
You got to kind of... You got to kind of walk through that door, don't you? So you're not right. thinking about it 20 years from now going, man, was it really that important me getting – if he would have used me, would I still have been just as effective in that playoff game the next week? And that opportunity will never pose itself again. So I think if there's a chance to have one of those unbelievable records, you got to walk through that door. That's just me, and that's just
– What would Brett Boone do? If you were Saquon Barkley – What would Brett Boone do? Would you ask to play? I want to break that record.
I am playing. Yeah,
you are playing.
Absolutely. But that's the mindset of me when I played. It's not then. It's not me. It's not when I played. It's 2024. So there's a lot more parameters put on. But yeah, just thinking like I've thought my whole life. Of course. Yes, I'm playing. And it doesn't matter. Lou Pinell is my skipper. And he says, Booney, we're going to sit you today. You got a chance to win the RBI title tomorrow. Are you kidding me? I have to go play.
Right.
You know, you're hitting 297. You're hitting 297. We're going to sit you the last day.
So you can win the batting title.
Or, well, I was never in the hunt for a batting title, but let's just say hitting 300, or I've got right. 99 RBIs. You're not going to sit me the last day of the season to get ready for the playoffs. I've played 161. Is this 62 really going to tucker me out? Absolutely not. I'm playing. So that's my mindset. But I'm not a football player. I'm not a 2024
player. No, you don't have to justify it. It's legitimate. It's legitimate. But here's the other part, Brett. I got mad last night on the radio because they're like, well, what if he gets hurt? Like, okay, what if he gets hurt? There's no guarantees in life. And I feel like today in sports, everybody wants to be safe. Everybody wants to be safe. Well, let me
rest him and keep him. A lot of times those are when you get hurt.
Explain.
When you're playing, it's safe. When you play not to get hurt is a lot of times when injuries occur.
Because you're not what?
It's like a golf swing. Why do you swing so hard? Okay, let me slow it down. Now my swing is way out of sync. There's no rhythm to it. It's a horrible shot. Oh, but I was just 70%. Well, you don't know how to swing 70%. So until you learn how to do that, until you learn, it's almost like telling a center fielder, listen, we don't want you being as aggressive. We don't want you climbing walls. We don't want you running into fences. You're not going to be the player that you are if you play like that. And I don't even know if it's capable, you're capable of. It's like, okay, today, whatever you do, don't get injured. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? You know, you're going to do some things and you're going to react differently, trying not to get injured, which will probably end up in an injury. I thought it was a good segment and for people to sit out there and go, wow, he's got a good point, whether it is or not.
Well, the other one is, I was talking about this last night as well, Andy Reid. The Kansas City Chiefs have everything wrapped up. Right. They have nothing to play for. They're the number one seed. They're going to get a bye. Their last game of the season is against the Denver Broncos. They're going to sit Patrick Mahomes. Okay, doesn't mean anything to the Chiefs. Let them sit. But for the integrity of the game, the Broncos need to win in order to secure a playoff spot. And if they don't win, then it opens up the door for the Miami Dolphins or the Cincinnati Bengals. We've talked about this before, the integrity of the game. If you're the Chicago White Sox and you're 50 games out of first place, and you're playing a team that's fighting for a playoff spot, you play them straight up. You give them your best for the integrity of the game. What about this situation in Kansas City where they're way ahead? They're not going to go all out, and it's going to affect the playoffs and the integrity of the game.
Well, I think that's for each individual manager, head coach in the NFL. They need to make that decision, because I do think protecting the integrity of the game is very important. First of all, they've earned the right. When you play that well, that you earn the right to go into the playoffs how you want and be as strong as you can. I think there's some credibility to the fact that, yes, you have the luxury of doing some things other ball clubs don't get to do. That being said, you know, it's like being a baseball player and you're going down the stretch and you got to win one. It's out of your control. You've done what you've done. You played your final game, but now it's in the hands of the Kansas City Royals. If they beat the Detroit Tigers tonight, my team, Brett Boone's team's going to the playoffs. Man, I'm sitting there watching that game going, come on, play your best. Give me your best. You got to. And all of a sudden they have their starting pitcher that's maybe had a exceeded his innings that they set up for him this year, and they don't pitch him, and that's going to make the difference whether I go to the playoffs or I don't go to the playoffs. I got a problem with that. So I think it's up to each individual manager, each individual head coach, is to, yes, keep the integrity of the game there, but to what degree? I think it's a fine line. I don't think there's any right answer.
All right, let's work this out then. How would you feel if you're the Cincinnati Bengals? Here's a scenario. If the Broncos lose to the Chiefs, which they would if Patrick Mahomes played, that opens up the door for the Bengals. But the Bengals also need the Dolphins to lose. Dolphins are going with a backup quarterback, so there's a good chance they can lose. That means the Bengals have a chance to win their way into the playoffs last game of the season. But now all of a sudden the Chiefs go, we're not going to play it straight up. We're going to go with the backup, which means they might not win beating the Broncos. So the poor Bengals are sitting over here doing everything they need, and the other teams aren't going at full strength.
Yeah, I think that's I don't
if
know.
If you were on the Bengals, if like, you were in Cincinnati, how would you feel?
I wouldn't be very happy with it.
That's what I thought.
At the same time, some self-reflecting, going, well, if I would have played better and put myself in the position that the Chiefs has put themselves in, then I would be able to make this moral dilemma decision.
Right.
So it's kind of a catch-22, you know. But, yeah, if you're a Bengal right now, you're not happy with Mahomes not. At least, you know, I can see if, hey, he'll play the first half, we get through it.
There you go.
Keep them sharp. And then, you know, in the second half, we're going to play it straight. We're still going to play our main guys, but we're going to be real careful here and make sure we get to the playoffs in one piece. I can see that, but just from the get-go, saying we're not playing Mahomes, that's, yeah, if you're the Bengals, you're kind of going, wait a minute, what are we doing here? So I understand the dilemma either way. I don't know what the right answer is.
Okay, let's talk about free agency in baseball. There's a couple out there, right?
There's a few left. There's
who's
few
out
left.
There?
There's been a lot of action. For me, I made a quick list, and there's five on each side. I'll give you my five remaining pitchers, notables, names. Jack Flaherty, who finished with the Dodgers, won a World Series champion with the Dodgers. Justin Verlander, a Scherzer, a Tanner Scott, and this highly coveted Japanese pitcher, Sasaki. Those are the five guys left of note. There's a lot more than that. I think out of those guys, I think Tanner Scott's the one. Sasaki's going to choose his team because the money, there is a limit to how much they can pay him, and there's different rules with Sasaki coming over, like $7.5 million is most he can get. So he's basically going to sign where he wants to sign. Some people are saying Dodgers, I'm hearing Padres. Tanner Scott is the class for me right now. He's an elite back of the bullpen guy that's going to make any team. He's one of the best closers in baseball. Finished with the Padres last year, came over from the Marlins, and he's going to probably be moving on. Whoever gets him, is it going to be? I don't think the Yankees need him anymore because they got Williams from the Brewers.
Right.
Clay Holmes goes to the Mets. They're going to tinker with him being a starting pitcher. But you look around, are the Red Sox going to grab him? Do the Mets make a play, even though they have Edwin Diaz at the end of that rotation? A lot of questions, but whoever gets Tanner Scott, he'll probably end up with the Dodgers where everybody else ends up. That's elite.
And then they'll defer his paycheck until the year 30-35.
I think Flaherty, excuse me, is an interesting one. I think he's 28 years old. I think he's had some success, but he was up and down in the postseason. He was either really good or really bad, and I think a lot of teams are hesitant to go all in on him. And then you've got the two big names, Verlander and Scherzer. Verlander being 41 years old, Scherzer not getting any younger. Both first ballot Hall of Famers probably, and they're both going to pitch again. They're probably going to land somewhere. Verlander's probably going to sign a hometown deal with the Houston Astros. Scherzer, I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if Scherzer ends up on a real big-time discounted deal with somebody like the San Diego Padres, who are looking for that. Also, Clayton Kershaw, he hasn't signed, but I think if he plays another year, Kershaw is going to be with nobody except for the Dodgers. Let's move into the position players. Got Pete Alonso, Alex Bregman, Santander, Jurickson Profar, and Kim are my last five top free agents. I just did a hit on put it out on social media. The Bregman and the Alonso thing. You know, I think sometimes it's a good thing to stay home. Alex Bregman was drafted by the Houston Astros. He's won several World Series champions. He's a huge part, not only part of that team, but that community. They love Alex Bregman. The ballpark he plays in sets up perfect for Alex Bregman. Sometimes you just stay home and play it out. In a day and an age where everybody's moving around, he has the opportunity, I believe, to stay home in Houston, because I still think they want him and finish his career there. I think that would be best for Alex Bregman, because I think with his swing, that park sets up perfect for him, and I think it would be prudent to stay.
Well, and the other part of that is whatever team you go to next doesn't care. They don't care about your legacy. They don't care about what you've done. You look at, you remember when Pablo Sandoval went to the Boston Red Sox? And the fans are like, okay, we paid you all this money. All right, three-time champion, what do you got for us? And his skills declined.
Well, and I think, too, with an Alex Bregman type, he went, I do not take away their right to try the free agent market. Go for it. Who knows who's going to
But just remember, wherever you go, they're going to expect instant now, success.
At this stage of the postseason or the offseason, it's like, maybe home cooking sounds good. Same with Pete Alonso. Now, Pete Alonso's swing, I think, travels better. I think Pete Alonso in any ballpark is going to be fine. He's got that type of power. So I don't think the ballpark's really going to affect his numbers wherever he lands. But once again, it makes perfect sense. Goldschmidt, Christian Walker's moved on. He went to Houston. Goldschmidt signed with the Yankees. Yeah, for a minute there, I thought, wow, it would make sense for Alonso just to slide over to the Yankees. Still a New York guy, still beloved in New York. He would just be changing uniforms. But now that they got Goldschmidt, it kind of, okay, now where's Alonso really going to go, and where's he going to get the most money?
The most money and be the most comfortable.
You've got an owner like Cohen who's willing to pay, and it seems to be kind of monopoly money with the Mets. It's like you're probably going to get a pretty good deal with the Mets anyway, and you can stay home, and you're loved, and you're a part of that Mets organization.
Can you imagine how much more beloved he will be if he comes home?
I agree, and I think there's something to be said for that. Staying with an organization, going down, going into their Hall of Fame when you're done. Right. I think there's something to that, staying and being a part of that culture. Santander had a great season, 40-plus home runs with the Orioles. I think he's going to end up in Toronto. That's just my feeling. And then you got a Jurickson Profar and Kim with the Padres. Kim, I think there's a little – there's people out there worrisome about his health because – it doesn't make sense that I haven't heard anything from Kim unless they're overvaluing him, asking for too much money. He's a great swing guy. He's a guy that can play anywhere in the infield at an above average level, short, second, and third. He'd be a perfect swing guy for a lot of teams. I'm curious why there hasn't been more. He's only 29 years old, more interest in him. And then Profar, I think it makes sense for him to go back to the Padres. Profar had a great year last year, was the MVP of that Padres team for three quarters of the season. but he's really never done it at that level before. And I think there's a lot of people out there in free agency going, oh, wait a minute. He did it 1 year. Can he do it again? I think the Padres love him. What he did in San Diego makes most sense for him to go back to the Padres. Those are my 10 remaining free agents. There's a lot more than that, but I just wanted to highlight a few what I see. And it's going to be interesting next couple weeks to find out what goes on with them.
All right. So you have some homework to do, Brett.
Yes.
We want to know what happened to Bunny Bunny.
Bunny Bunny, we'll check it out.
If you could please let us know what happened to Bunny Bunny, we would all appreciate it. And again, Happy New Year, everybody. We appreciate all of you, of course, joining us here on the Boone Podcast, where you get entertainment like Brett dancing.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, what a dance. Those are it great is TMZ dance stuff. Moves.
It is TMZ.
That is cool. Bye, those are great dance moves. All right, you go play golf. I'm jumping back on the radio. We'll talk to you next week, everybody.
You got it. Thanks, guys.